Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Where the sun at? Where the sun at, Mike?
I don't know. It's out there. Look at it.
I see
it's supposed to be sunny
Where's
today.
The sun?
It's supposed to be sunny today.
Yeah, I see the sun.
There ain't nothing but clouds in the sky. Now it's all cloudy.
Look at it. There's the sun.
That's a flashlight.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. I'm Mike.
I'm Stu. Sip.
That's Stu, which is Chew. They all rhyme. But, hey.
It's yeah, Mike and Sip sound just alike.
I say, I have people. They butcher it. Oh, yeah. You're on that Mike and Chew show.
Yeah, Mike and Chew. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, welcome. Thanks everybody for listening this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day outside today. I guess
that's the theory.
Kind of. It's supposed to be beautiful. All
oh,
week.
I rechecked the forecast. It's supposed to be cloudy all day. No sun at all.
What?
Today. Yep.
Well, as long as it's not raining and
it says 0%. But I got to tell you, this app I've got, WeatherBug. Terrible.
Well,
because it will show you the hourly and it says it's supposed to be 64 degrees right now, but the current temperature is 51.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you can't update that.
Yeah, for real. But it's supposed to be a pretty week all week.
Oh yeah. Which we need.
Then it's supposed to rain again on the weekend. So,
really, the last I saw, it wasn't supposed to rain again till the week after next.
Well, it changes.
Then
it
again, changes. I just told you WeatherBug. Yeah. Just Sunday. Sunday is the only day of rain forecast. That's 80% next Sunday.
Yeah, mine says 58%. So,
yeah, like I say, I'm probably going to ditch this weather bug.
I think I would if it's not.
Apparently, it's more bug than weather.
It's got bugs in it. Your bug's got bugs in it.
Need to debug my weather.
So what's been like down at Mardi Gras right now? You slinging any noodles?
Just a little.
Okay.
There have not been big crowd turnouts. I don't know what the media is saying, but.
Well, you know, it's
Friday, I kind of noticed it, but yesterday was nothing.
I think
usually a huge day.
And I'm not faulting the radio, local media, but, you know, sometimes they can. There's two different things that can keep people away. Rain.
Yeah.
The forecast of rain. And then the horror stories about parking downtown.
Yeah. And the abject poverty caused by the economy.
And there's that, too.
Yeah. And, you know, and they can use a phrase,
mm-hmm.
and you can interpret it different ways. Wonderful crowds tonight at the Mardi Gras parade. Well, they were very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
What few showed up.
Yeah.
But all along government, you can see patches of railing that have nobody on them.
Yeah.
It's never more than one person deep at it. And I'm thinking that's the weather keeping things away.
It could be.
And hopefully that will improve next weekend because this is the serious parading, I understand, gets started Thursday.
Yeah. It goes right on into the good weekend. But you got the Senior Bowl this next weekend, so.
Yeah.
You're going to have extra crowds for that, and then they'll do the Senior Bowl.
Well, keep in mind, the Senior Bowl's in West Mobile now. It takes everything out of downtown.
Well, they still got all the players down there.
Oh, looking forward to that.
They're going
to
have the parade they do downtown.
Right.
So, yeah.
Which there's no point in since there's Mardi Gras parades always. Real ones. Bona fide.
Yeah, yeah.
So. But, you know, if that's one more reason to get people down there, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, but, yeah. I mean, the Senior Bowl, even though when it's played at LAD, it's mm-hmm. you still got the people downtown.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters where it's played at.
Yeah. Well,
it does from a safety point.
You are the official, unofficial Mardi Gras guru for the city of Mobile.
How's that?
Because you've always been an enthusiast, very active in different societies.
I do.
There was a time you went to a ball every day. I mean,
I've been about every ball, but not every week, not every year.
Not at the same night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But have you ever known the downtown restaurants at 9 o'clock on the Friday and Saturday parades to be completely empty.
And that's what
we saw this weekend.
Yeah.
Heroes was gone last night by 9 o'clock. They weren't even in the restaurant anymore.
Well, they were showing, I saw a camera of Bourbon Street the other night, Friday night, and they had a parade, I think, and there wasn't that many people on Bourbon Street Friday night.
And it may just be that this is just the locals coming, that the tourists aren't able to come to town.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then we're going to lose money on Mardi Gras this year as a city. Because it's those out-of-town tourist dollars taking up the hotels and eating at the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pays for all this.
What about the cruise schedule? How's that affecting it?
I don't know.
Probably shouldn't.
You know, Saturdays. I mean,
supports or takes away, I would think. Yeah. If they've got a can they get leaving, you know, and the time you've got everybody coming, supposed to be coming in.
I had a friend ask me from California, asked me, were there any hotel rooms? I said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You got the cruise ships, and she was going to be in town this weekend. And I said, you do have the cruise ships, and they take up people.
Yeah.
But there are more hotels downtown. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know.
That would be a good indicator. Just check with, you know, the Admiral Sims and all that.
Or just pull up booking.com and see if I can get anything.
Well, I was just looking at numbers. You know, if you can get with, cause it's always a numbers game. If you get with the hotels, if they're full up, no vacancies, then that should be a good indicator.
I just don't know. I don't know. I've been dog sitting out in West Mobile.
There you go. Now that's.
I haven't really been downtown.
You don't cat sit. Cats don't need sit.
Cats take care of themselves.
Yeah. You just leave it outside the house. It'll feed itself. It'll bathe itself. And it still loves you when you get back.
Mine are inside cats.
Yeah.
Mine are inside. Well, Jude is inside, outside, but he's mostly inside. But when I leave here, I'll go to my place and feed them some more because they have an automatic feeder and they got all their litter box, you know, the cat stuff and their toys and plenty of warm spots. Yeah, they take care of themselves. I can go away for 4 days and they take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got plenty of food and.
I still hike their hind leg and say hi, how are you?
And they get their cat naps, you know, in but
this is kind of eye-opening.
Hmm.
Oh, no, okay. That's not the one in downtown. It took me to Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
The Garden Inn, one right on Bienville Square,
right.
That sold out this weekend.
Yeah.
You go 10 miles away to the Homewood Suites Hilton Mobile, they got availability.
Yeah.
Wyndham,
what about check
La Quinta Wyndham Mobile has availability.
Check Courtyard. Candlewood. Downtown, well, Candlewood downtown.
I'm just looking at booking, so it's just pulling.
Because Candlewood is away from Bienville Square.
Yeah, let's see.
And then you don't have Bienville Square. You don't have parking at the auditorium. They say they're trying to make more parking, and everybody is trying to get a parking spot for their campers. And then I can't even park on my street. They've got street signs up said we can't even park here, and that's where we park at every day of the year.
And Candlewood is sold out.
People in the Tanti Square where I live, they're upset.
I bet.
We are upset. And they have come in there and taken away all our parking. And like the street where I always park, nothing ever comes down that street. They brought a float down there one time for the Mamgir parade, and they were going down a one-way street the wrong way,
which is overflow parking, though?
They say it's because it's a direct shot to the interstate.
Ah.
It's Claiborne. And I can't park there. But when they had the big IM and AAM secret parties over there on State Street with the big tents, they park all up and down there. And anyway... We're going to have to do something about this because this is where we live and this is our street. But like I said, nothing's ever come down that street. And the one time they brought a float down, the oak trees were taking the top off the floats.
Oh.
And people having to jump.
Yeah, that would have been
for their lives.
Film worthy right there.
I was looking out my window and going, just shaking my head.
Well, you know, with this police presence downtown, everybody that's toting a float behind them should probably have a breathalyzer before they're able to pull off, because that's what that sounds like.
They need some scales when they start getting on them horses.
Hey, Mike, 251-343-0106. What the heck is that?
That's the Callahan's Irish Social Club text-in line.
Way down on the Mobile Bay, so long, so long.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike.
Stu, I had a friend tell me she didn't like this song. She hated this song.
I don't like this song.
Well, I unfriended her.
You want me to leave?
No.
Okay.
I'll make an exception for you.
No, I've never liked this song.
Guess where I have not been yet?
Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy?
Not yet.
Not yet. As in, not this moment?
Not at this moment. I may after the show, but I'll be going to probably go to Bob's Downtown Diner at the corner of Fat and Happy, North Jackson, and St. Francis. There are fine folks there. Yeah. And Marcus will be playing there today from 10-ish to 1-ish or something like that.
From the time he starts till the time he ends?
That's it. Whenever he starts, whenever he ends. Yeah. And we want to thank them for being such good friends at our show. And same folks over, same thing with our friends over at Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar, home of Dave's famous pimento cheese. Some people call it pimento and cheese, but it's pimento cheese.
Yeah, it's pimento too, not pimenta, which is what you say right after you say tapas. You take the boy out of Laurel, Mississippi, but you can't take the Mississippi out the boy.
Is that like saying espresso or espresso? One has an X and the other S.
Will you be more Pacific? Which one?
Okay, here we go.
Anyway, and Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. That andouille, I enjoy cooking with that andouille.
People are loving the Nola mac and cheese.
Are they?
Because of the andouille.
I'd be one of them.
Yeah.
I'd be one of them.
Is it andouille or andouille?
Andouille.
Andouille.
Yeah. Actually,
andouille.
If you're French, it's andouille.
Andouille.
Yeah.
Let's circle back around on this in a minute.
Okay.
Because I got an idea I want to throw at you.
All right. And then we want to thank them for their support. And of course, Butch Cassidy's over there in Floshell corner. It's actually on Florida Street. But it's by the corner of O'Shell Road. So we finally call that Floshell. So what you want to circle back to?
All right. I am thinking about, have you ever been to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival?
Mm-hmm. I never have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of some of the food that's at it?
That's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, one thing called crawfish bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've had that.
I am thinking of running that this weekend.
Okay.
In place of the French press.
Okay.
And just crawfish, but I want to take it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going
to. Well, you're going to have to take it up in price because crawfish are through the roof right
now.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is it's mostly cheese.
Okay.
With crawfish scattered in it.
And, you just spread the juice.
Yeah. But
like one piece, you know, one piece of bread. Yeah.
I'm thinking of adding a little Hall's Cajun sausage into
it. Oh, I would.
Well. Yeah. Pork and shellfish really are naturals together. Mm-hmm. And the most common example people can think about is either bacon wrapped scallops or the infamous devils on horseback, which is shrimp marinated in pineapple juice with soy sauce wrapped with bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, Kansas there's not used to all this fancy seafood stuff.
Oh, no. I've seen it. I just didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
I've seen one.
I've seen them.
You cannot ride them devils on the horseback. But, I'm thinking about running the crawfish bread this week.
Okay.
Then the muffalittle has had some attention. Some
not people. A muffalata, but a muffalittle.
Yeah. It
means a little.
Handheld. About the size of a cheeseburger.
That sounds
great.
Yeah. No, the minis are the sliders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There's a slider version of a muffalata.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Mike's just sitting here thumping his microphone going, is this thing on?
Right, sure.
Yeah. So what do you think, little you've had crawfish bread.
Yes, I have. I had four. I used to go to the French Quarter Fest.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a fun festival. And I get some meat pies, some crawfish pies, some crawfish bread. The food's all over there.
And the thing about Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest is there are several dishes that the only time you can get them in Louisiana is at those festivals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival doesn't let them serve crawfish bread anymore because they say that's not part of the heritage.
Mm-hmm.
To which everyone who served it said, I've eaten it my whole life. How's it not part of my heritage?
Yeah, right, right.
But crawfish bread is one of those things. Usually the only time you ever saw cochon de lait po' boys, at Jazz Fest. Mm-hmm. Restaurants didn't serve them. People didn't make it at home on the weekends.
Right.
But you can go right across the street from Mac and Cheesery and go into Debris Po' Boy and get you cochon de lait. Do you know what that one is, Steve?
I don't. And I was just curious to ask.
It translates into milk of the pig. What it means is a suckling pig.
Okay.
Traditionally, it was made by roasting a young pig.
Right.
As we said on day one on this show, babies are delicious.
Right.
But you slow roast it. You make a gravy with it. You put that roast pork in the gravy on there. Today, they do it with pork shoulder butt.
Okay.
Which is the same thing you use for pulled pork.
Well, it's like when you do young lamb, you know. It's just.
Well, old lamb is called mutton.
Right.
Mutton?
Yeah. And
mutton for
hearing now that there's a good deal of controversy that a lot of lamb that's coming, I think, from South America isn't lamb. It's actually a goat that they have down there.
Mm.
That they're just calling
a lamb.
Lamb.
Yeah.
Well, if it tastes the same and I don't care, just tell me what I'm eating.
Right.
Because as long as it's delicious, I'm going to eat it. The name doesn't matter to me.
When I worked, South America, when I worked at Del Champs in high school.
At the South American Del Champs.
Yeah.
Buenos Aires.
All the beef they bought was commute. From Argentina.
Because
it was grass-fed.
And it's the top beef-producing country in the world.
Let me tell you.
For export.
Guess what the byproduct is?
Poop.
Leather.
Oh. Well.
And when I've been down there in the wine business, there are leather shops everywhere.
I used to work with a kitchen manager who was from Uruguay, I believe. Ecuador. He was from Ecuador. He wanted to retire to Uruguay.
Uruguay's beautiful.
And,
been there, too.
But he said in Argentina and those areas, he said beef is looked at as poor people food because there's so much of it that it's cheap. He said, but you pay through the nose for pork and chicken.
Mm. David Hubble says it's andouille. Not andouille.
Right. Yeah, andouille.
Andouille.
Noted, andouille. David. Noted.
Actually, if you did it phonetically, you would take A-H-N, like on andouille. Yeah, that's French.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spelled it like O-N, on.
Yeah.
Douille.
That's the problem with phonetics. Everybody's
David,
phonetics
do I do E?
On or do
I
do I? E. Andouille.
Had we listened to Benjamin...
Soften the E on tweet.
Tweet. But okay. Do you do that in Louisiana?
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm a real French.
When in Rome, you do as the Romans do.
Cajun is real French. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm doing as they do in Rome, Georgia. 251-343-0106. Michael, what again is
the
that?
The Callahans. Our social club.
You were just holding up the 30-second sign for fun?
What do we do it? Oh, it's 3 minutes.
Okay. now we got two.
Never mind, folks. Never mind.
If you want to call in, that's the number, though.
Yeah, do call in or text in.
Or don't. Oh, look, there's a call coming in. Oh, we went straight to the air, huh?
A call pouring in, right?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Cookie, how are you?
Listen, I got a question regarding crawfish. Now, first of all, last I heard from Sean Sullivan's program, one of his.
Who's that?
It was up to like almost $14 a pound, and that's with the heads on, right?
Yeah, I heard that show.
But my question is regarding is there a crawfish trap? And how the heck do you trap them? But first, let me point out that I grew up in a neighborhood where. There were crawfish in the backyard and in the front yard. And you knew that they were there because of the little dirt tunnels that they push up out of the ground. Now, the only way to catch them then was, from what I was told, because I was little, it was to take a piece of just something that they might like, whatever it might be, put it on a string, like fishing, on a twig, and then hold it over the top of the tunnel. And when the crawfish fish came up, you would have to grab it. Now, this would have taken of course, this might be why we were told this. this would have taken more than hours and hours to catch just a dozen crawfish. So is it, what is the industrial equivalent now of how that's done?
Oh, well, they're, those ponds are going to be set up so that they just drain them. But if you want to know how you catch them in the wild, we're not the experts.
I know how to catch them in the wild.
Well, I mean the cages and stuff that you... Yeah. Sean Sullivan, you may have heard of him. He's worked on this station a time or two. He actually forages for his own crawfish in the Delta every year. Alabama crawfish.
I don't know if he's been this year, but... Well, it's just not getting that season. But yeah, when I was a kid, we had a railroad track.
He might forage for it.
We had a railroad track by our house where I lived, and we played in the ditches a lot catching those little boogers. I didn't know you could eat them, though.
All right, folks, at the time. We gave the number earlier. We got to go cookie on break. Thanks for calling in, but keep listening because the Calmetti is going to tell us about food competition.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us.
It is us.
But we're not alone, are we?
No, we're not. We have somebody on the line. We have Danny Calametti. Danny,
of
how
the,
are you?
Of the infamous brothers Calametti.
The Calametti brothers.
There you go. There you go. Gentlemen, how are you?
Is that infamous or infamous?
We're famous.
It could be.
They're infamous.
How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing well. Doing well. You know, it's a little bit busy time, but that's all good.
A little bit of busy, kind of. Okay.
You got all this convergence of stuff. You got Senior Bowl. You got this little Mardi Gras thing going on. You got just coming out of
Why don't they put all them parades right in the middle of Mardi Gras season?
I don't know how to do that.
Lord, can't park anywhere. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, we're getting geared up for some stuff. And you know, the good thing is we got a lot of things going on now, but there's more than just Senior Bowl and Mardi Gras going on. So that's
what
all
is
fun.
What is that?
We got a couple things. So we're proud that, you know, some of you guys may know that I'm the token gringo on the Hispanic American Business Association. On that board, and we've been working for a while now at building a Continental Commissary kitchen.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm proud to say that we've got a ribbon cutting on Friday. It's at 260 Azalea Road. The old, it was Bojangles, and then it was Poindexter's there out there. And what's cool about this is it's really targeted at would-be food entrepreneurs, people that are looking to get started in the food business, and really focused on those underserved parts of our community. We've been working with Bishop State and with Coastal on some culinary training programs.
Cool.
To really offer these folks, particularly all people that move into our area, maybe move in from, you were talking about South America, maybe move in from Latin America, and in their home countries, they're used to cooking in their kitchens and then just selling their wares out on the streets.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that when they get here, and that has obviously some issues involved. But the bottom line is they don't have access to a commercial cooking space. And so we've got, with our commissary kitchen, we've got space. It'd be a shared incubator type of space for the kitchen facility. So we got several different kitchen options. We have a bakery in there. We'll have some space for food trucks and all this type of stuff. So it's really going to be exciting. We've been working hard at getting it. Of course, you know, funding's always an issue, so we were pleased to get some funding from the Recovery Act from presented to us by Commissioner Bloodgood, Mobile County, and that kind of stuff. So that's a start. But that's coming up. That's on this Friday. So folks are welcome to come out and tour the facilities. Really gorgeous. The folks that with HABA, Dr. Leda Javier, if you know her, she's championed that most of it, and we really got. And then we had some other folks that helped out with design and stuff. So that's starting out, and we can talk about it later on in February. On the 22nd of February, we'll actually have a grand opening, and I'll send you guys some information about that. Cool. So that's kind of the broader food food thing. Well, there's this little thing called a Super Bowl coming up. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but if you insert the word chili in the middle of that, the Super Bowl folks have a problem with that. They kind of gave Floribama a hard time because they were doing their Super Chili Bowl cook-off, but they're still doing it anyway.
Well, that's so, Alabamians, where you're just like, you want to stop us, feel free to walk on down here and say something to us face-to-face.
There you go. But Dave and I always handle the judging for that. And the only issue is that happens to be the Saturday after this little Crew of Columbus Mardi Gras parade that we kind of get involved in. So we've got the judging lined up. But if folks are in that neck of the woods, it's a great time. They're full up. They always fill up on chefs. They don't have any room for any more chili contributors. But if you want to eat chili, it goes for a great cause. It's American Cancer Society benefits that. And the folks over at Floribama do a great job. So it's $25, all you can eat, music, entertainment, all that kind of stuff. So those are some of the immediate events that are going on. And then we got a few other things a little bit further down the line. I know you guys were talking about the this little thing called World Food Championships.
Heard of it.
Yeah. One of the interesting, they're continuing to revamp what they do, and they're actually, one of the good things they did is they had a category called rice noodle last year, which was very innovative, but those are two different dishes. And so what they've done this year is they've actually split it out into a separate category. So they've got 12 food categories, everything from bacon to burger to chef to soup. And they'll have rice noodle. They added a live fire category last year, which was exciting. And they added a beverage category as well. So they're actually going to have 13 different categories competing. And we've got a couple of events so far lined up. We're looking at lining up some other ones. We're working with the folks down at Dauphin Island Chamber. We haven't confirmed the date yet, but it's going to be a gumbo oyster focused event, be open to the public, and it'll be probably going to be mid-April. I'll have that date. Thought we had a date lined up, but I don't have it quite yet. But it'll be for a World Food Championship ticket.
Let me interrupt you a second, Danny. When you say gumbo, oyster gumbo, do you mean oyster or gumbo, or specifically oyster gumbo?
They've always done a gumbo contest.
Right.
And so they're still going to be featuring gumbo, but this is a gumbo / oyster / seafood where we're going to have. So it'll have the two elements of it.
A strictly oyster gumbo cook-off. That would be fun to taste that. Nothing but oysters.
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting. Somebody go out there and get my vote when I find an oyster in their gumbo. You know, that's always a plus for me. You know, we've got a competitor going now from the Pearl in Fairhope won the Fairhope Oyster Contest, and so they'll be going to this year's World Food Championship, and they actually served. And it was funny, I was going through my judge's instructions, and I said, you know, you got to be holistic. You take your own prejudices about this. If somebody says it's seafood gumbo and they've got not sausage in there, and you think that doesn't make it, you got to judge it for as good. And I'm in the judge's room, and I'm saying, and God forbid, if somebody puts potato salad in a gumbo, you can't hold that against them.
Because that's gumbo and Pascagoula.
Pearl, and they had potato salad slap dab in the middle of it. It was delicious. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah, there is no such thing as this is gumbo and this isn't, with the exception of tomatoes. But
whether it's Cajun or Creole.
Well, people in Louisiana will tell you never put sausage in seafood gumbo, to which I say, then you don't make good gumbo. Because we talked about it earlier in the show, pork and shellfish are natural pairings. And if you find a way to put them together, you always should. So if you don't put sausage in a seafood gumbo, I'm probably going to take points off.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like the idea of cropper spread, by the way.
Yeah.
with without doing any fussage. So anyway, so yeah, so we got a few things. It's the, you know, they're continuing to revamp this World Food Championships. They've got some new ownership that is looking at doing bigger and better things, and so it's not coming back here, but we'll still be hosting events and that type stuff. The rounding out the end of the year, we've already got on the calendar. We'll do another grilling contest with the Orange Beach Gulf Shores Chamber of Commerce. So that'll be in August, and that'll be another World Food Championship ticket we're doing there. It's talking about April. We are working with the folks at BAMIQ, and we'll be doing a big steak contest at the battleship on April 19th and 20th. So things are kicking in gear. I guess I need to also mention, because it looks like I may end up having another team or being participating in another team at the American Cancer Society cook-off over here in Mobile on March 9th. That's always a fun event. Got to cook lots of chili for it, though.
I would love to see a seafood, and I use the phrase cook-off very loosely, where all the seafood has to be cold.
So, okay.
And that could be raw, and you're competing on oysters, and you're competing for the different minuet sauces that go on it, or stuff like that, or like a cold seafood tower, a shrimp cocktail. I'm not saying that it should be raw seafood, but all the service should be cold, because then now no one has to worry about whether or not their food gets cold between the tent and the judge's table. It's already
cold. That's true.
Yeah. But that would eliminate that one. Plus, I just love cold seafood. You know, like peeling shrimp, cold is good.
Yeah.
Raw oysters. So there you go. There's something to think about.
All right.
We may have it in an ice house or something. Yeah, have it in an ice house. Cold smoked salmon.
I won't be there.
Well, Danny, it sounds like y'all have got a lot planned over the next year.
Well, that's just the first couple of months.
You'll, of course, come back on here if y'all have changes, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to call in and sometimes show up. We appreciate you guys supporting what we do, because we try to support what you do.
And we do appreciate it. If people want to find out more about any of the things you got going on, where can they go to find it?
Well, obviously with the Florida Bama stuff, you can go to their website. The Chamber of Dolphin Island will be posted, but they can come to alabamacoasting.com.
Ah, just a good catch-all for everything.
yep. And we changed that initially to we were Alabama Coast, but then we changed it to the verb, Alabama Coasting, because
it's a
you
way
can do
of
that
life.
Wherever you're at in the state. Yeah, there you go. It's a way of life.
Because down here in Mobile and Baldwin County, we like to go coastal.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, that's part of that, too.
Not postal, but coastal.
Yeah.
I got you.
All right, Danny, we're up against the break, buddy, but we appreciate you coming on. Anytime you need to, you know you can just call us, okay?
All right, man. Let me know. I'm going to come check out that crawfish bread, though, so that might be good.
All right. Well, I guess I got to make it now. People are expecting
it. Yeah, we better do it now. Better do it now. They're going to be lining up in a minute.
You didn't ask for a vote, but you got one.
All right. Thanks a lot, Danny.
All right. Take care.
Folks, that's Danny Calmette.
You've been waiting the whole segment for that, haven't you?
Now you're all confusing.
There's
music. We come back. We got some congratulations to issue about some James Beard.
Oh, I think you're talking to me.
But 251-343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club text or call in line, like Cookie did.
It did.
At Alice's restaurant, you can get anything you want.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu.
We're having a little fun with David Hubble on the on the interweb.
Yeah, in case anyone wonders what Mike and I do, we sip and chew.
There you go. Hey.
Hey.
Thank you, Bob's, Bob's Downtown Diner, corner of Fat and Happy. That place is so cool.
Yep.
I may go by. I know the other day was Irish Coffee Day. National Irish Coffee Day. But I probably celebrate it today.
Yeah. Yesterday was National Chocolate Cake Day.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Simon Majumdar was quick to share that one on Twitter.
Well, he also was talking about tacos the other day, and I had to let him know, hey, the other day was Tuesday was Fish Taco Day. Wednesday was National Fish Taco Day.
Any fish taco or specifically the Baja fish taco?
Well, you've been using that word a lot today.
Taco?
You've been specifically saying specifically all day.
Like no, that was you. That's the first time I said it.
Anyway,
kept saying Pacific.
But we need to thank suspiciously Bob's downtown tire in the corner of Fat Abbey for being friends of our show.
Call
and thank
someone else out if you can't.
Labor Sean Juan and Tapas Bar over
them. We need to mention effervescently.
Effervescently,
because they sell bubbles
and charcuteries.
Yeah, but bubbles.
They were doing charcuteries for sure. Charcuteries was cool.
Yeah. Charcuteries always been.
And cool. Who's always cool?
Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meat.
They sure are. Yeah. And you can find that at the new Piggly Wiggly.
Have not been to that Piggly Wiggly yet, but I hear it is wonderful.
Oh, y'all see the spread that David Naiman's Catering has. Or
yeah,
David
Tom was ready to retire, and from what I understand, Alec talked him into, hold on a minute, I got a little project.
Yeah.
So Tom Houle is, for those who don't know, was the culinary manager for Alec Naiman for decades,
mm-hmm.
and probably one of the most influential chefs I've ever had the pleasure to work under. I learned a lot from Tom.
Okay.
And Tom said, I didn't go to CIA like these other jokers. I went to Europe and had a German chef cuss me out for 5 years. Then I came back and out cook them all.
There you go.
And he is still championing the 70s porn stash.
You know, and the what?
Porn stash.
Oh.
The big bushy 70s.
Oh, the big.
Thing?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
The mustache from the 70s.
I used to have one in high school.
The Burt Reynolds.
I used to have one in the 70s.
Yeah. I've seen pictures.
We all had one under our bed.
Yeah. But no, you need to go buy the pig. It's really cool.
I do need to. The one in Forest really Hills is great. You know, I have been getting their pulled. Or their whole smoked pork butts and half smoked pork mm-hmm. butts. It's really good. I was shocked. I got one because Smacks didn't have enough to share with me for Alt Walk. So I grabbed one. It was $13 for a mm-hmm. half butt. And I started pulling and went, man, this bark is first grade. It was phenomenal. So $13.99, you can get half a Boston butt smoked. At the Piggly Wiggly in Forest Hill, I imagine cool. The one on the airport does it as well. Wow. That is as
they
good as
it.
Any barbecue place.
They all do it.
It
all
was terrific.
That all started with Dwight Griffin at the one in Foley.
Yeah.
He when he was at Loxley at the pig there. Dwight's kind of, and Mr. Kane, they were really saw the future of what you could do in a grocery store. And Kamal Constantine and them and Danny and them, they have done a phenomenal job of taking the Piggly Wigglies. And they're not, you know, they put local vendors in there, people
yeah,
that are local.
Lots of local.
Unlike Three Georges
and, you know, and Deborah from Hall Sausage would be one of the first to tell you. Publix is a wonderful grocery store, but there's one thing that they do not do. And they do not carry local products.
Very few.
Yeah.
Very few.
Few, if any.
Yeah. And Rouse's is pretty good.
Yeah, very good at that. Winn-Dixie has a local section.
Piggly Wiggly does the most outstanding job I've ever seen of doing that.
Yeah.
And
Rouse's, what Rouse's does is local to Louisiana.
I was about to say,
yeah.
Not necessarily local Mobile. Yeah. They'll have some Mobile products.
They carry
a lot of
Alabama State products. They really do. And, and some Mobile, not very few, but, you know, I mean,
Wickles.
That just sold.
Well, Wickles has been made in Texas for about 10 years.
Oh, we do want to thank Butch Cassidy's over on Florida Street.
Did we get Le Bouchon as well, home of Dave's famous pimento cheese?
I think we did.
Well, we want to thank them. We want to make sure they know that we are thankful.
Yeah. Love them all. But got some kudos to put out. They just released the semifinals of the James Beard Award. And for those who don't know what the James Beard Award is, it's
the most prestigious award in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, it's the Academy and Grammy and Golden Globe all wrapped up in one in the gastronomic.
But not people's choice.
Not people's choice.
Not people's choice.
In the gastronomic
field. Yeah, it deals primarily with restaurants, but has also branched out into media and print media.
One day we'll have one. Or at least
probably
nominated.
Not.
But there are two locally we want to stress is Hope Farms in Fairhope.
Wonderful place that uses Hall sausage.
There you go. They were nominated for Outstanding Wine and Other Beverage Program. Okay. And that's awesome. I mean, just wine, and that's big. That's big.
Yes, it's huge.
Now, here's what's big. Arwin Rice, the executive chef at Red or White on Dolphin Street, Mobile, nominated for Best Chef in the South.
Wow. That is huge.
Now, this is a semifinal.
Right.
And it's Best Chef.
Yeah.
But also to mention, Channing Willis, Last Call Baking in Birmingham for Emerging Chef. Kelsey Bernard Clark at the KBC. And that's Dothan,
Dothan,
Chef South.
Mm-hmm. She's phenomenal.
Dothan. Yeah,
I've heard.
I've heard. And
Our good friend John Gibson has done some work with her.
Cool.
And has a.
And John's a great guy.
Yeah, we'll try and get you back on now that Auburn's football season's over and see what it was like handling.
They ain't got to feed the basketball players.
I don't know. That's why I'm giving them a little space.
Well, they're all tall and skinny. They need these.
No, they ain't skinny except for Chad Mazar Baker. But
and Rob Rob McDaniel of Helen in Birmingham. For Best Chef
is
South.
That where he's at now? Is Helen? Rob is a tremendous chef.
Yeah, it says Helen.
Yeah.
Might be L-H South.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things you kind of lose touch after a couple of years. But he was in the circle with Brody and Chris Sherrill and would come down and do a lot of events at Florabama and stuff down there when Chris was at Florabama. And he really is one of the best chefs in the state and apparently one of the best chefs in the South.
Hopefully going to be.
Yep.
But we hope that it's Arwin as well, Arwin Rice. We hope it's...
Well, you know, it's an honor just to be nominated. In
this
case, it really is.
In this case, it is.
Consider the competition? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're not just going up against the rest of Alabama. You're going up against chefs in New Orleans, Atlanta, Nashville, Miami,
Charlotte. It can be life-changing.
Yeah.
It can be life-changing.
Yeah. And these are people... These aren't bloggers that are picking this. These are people, but they do have a diverse crowd because was the cinematographer for Alton Brown on Good Eats. I'm just drawing a blank to my cohort's name. But he's been on the James Beard panel before because he worked with Alton Brown doing a TV show.
Yeah.
And that kind of brought him in. So he's been with high-end chefs and know what to expect.
Right.
Mike, we got to wrap this up.
Man, we do. It's this hour has flown by. We appreciate Danny coming on. Appreciate Cookie calling in. And folks, get out there, support local, be patient with parking if you go down to Mardi Gras. Be nice. And we always like to say here when we end the show, provolone.
Provolone.
Provolone.